This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Shell Aik together with Sharmila Gunnison. Earlier in the hour, we commemorated World Wildlife Day and we sort of zoomed in on the fate of amphibians and reptiles. Mm-hmm. Many species are under threat due to climate change impact. But moving on, we're back to politics again, unfortunately.
but perhaps not exactly the events of the last couple of weeks. So first off, we are actually asking you on Twitter, are the political events of the last week affecting you emotionally? We do have actually a very high percentage. 76.5% of you say yes, mm-hmm. The events have been affecting you emotionally. So feel free to tell us how. Mm-hmm. While 23.5% of you would said no. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio. You can share your thoughts with us. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03773-2900. And why are we asking you this? Well, it's certainly been a tumultuous week here in Malaysia. Yes. Really, no matter which side of the political divide you're from, because you know things change, they took turns not just day to day, but even hour to hour sometimes.
Yeah, you just can't keep up.
Yeah, and in the span of just a week, we've had a prime minister resign, then he was made interim PM, and then a new PM was appointed. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, the government that was voted in less than 2 years ago is no longer in power.
Yep.
In fact, we're still waiting for a new government to be formed. Mm. And just from the conversations that I've been having on, with people face to face, online, it's really left many people feeling quite confused, lost, drained. Mm-hmm. And it's also been a pretty anxious and affecting week for me personally. I mean, I can really identify with people who feel that way. What about you?
Definitely. And for me, what was confusing about it all was that nothing seemed to be following the rules, right? The rule book was just thrown out the window and you didn't know what to expect. All the whiplash from the decisions that were being made and then overturned. Mm. And just, I guess for me also, I feel like it's manifesting physically, right? Headaches, ulcers in my mouth. And I know this comes from stress, you know. And of course, as a station, we've been trying to bring you updates and analysis of what's going on as well. So I suppose there's sort of even a greater amount of investment in the issues.
And you can't just choose to switch off because it's kind of your job.
It is our job,
yeah. So it did get me wondering about the general impact of politically turbulent times on our mental health and how we can take care of our own mental well-being while going through these experiences. I mean, it's not like we can really decide to avoid them. It is part of our lives. Mm. But how can we maybe manage them better?
Mm. And this is actually an issue that's being highlighted more and more in recent times, particularly, you know, it's not just us. Many other countries around the world are going through their own political crises. So the American Psychological Association, for instance, put out a guide on managing your stress following political change shortly after President Donald Trump was elected into office.
And just a coincidental time there.
Just in case, you know, you need it. And the Mental Health Foundation in the UK as well put out similar material on taking care of your mental health post-Brexit. Mm. And there were certainly a lot of issues that UK citizens were going through. And in fact, according to the American Psychological Association, 69% of Americans say the future of their nation causes them significant stress. And 62% said they are stressed by their current political climate. And furthermore, the survey showed that this stress can manifest both emotionally, feelings of worry, tension, irritability, and even physically, like I've been experiencing, I think, you know, headaches, insomnia, stomach problems.
Insomnia is something I've been feeling in the last 1 week as well. Yeah. And, you know, even closer to home, the recent Hong Kong protests, for instance, and the political turmoil that's surrounding it, according to a study published in the Lancet Medical Journal, roughly 1 in 3 adults in Hong Kong have reported symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD in the months since the large-scale protest started in June.
Yeah.
1 in 5 have reported probable depression or suspected PTSD. Mm. And these are numbers that are 6 times higher than just 4 years ago after the Occupy protests had ended.
Right.
And many psychologists and therapists in India currently are already publicly calling for support groups and safe spaces for citizens to work through their emotions because of the current spate of protests that are happening all across India against the Citizenship Amendment Act and the National Registry of Citizens.
Yep. And so to get a sense of what the impact of these political changes here in Malaysia might be on us, we have on the line Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegathizan, lecturer in psychology. So Dr. Anasuya, what are the impacts on the average person's mental health when going through events like we've had in the last week?
Okay, I mean, there are a couple of different factors that are going to play in. One of the biggest factors is with what happened is the sense of helplessness. In Malaysian case in particular, is because, you know, we have a democratic process, people voted, and then it seems that the vote doesn't matter. So a lot, if you see, you know, in a lot of social media, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, democracy is broken, it's not working. I don't think that's true personally, but I can see where people are coming from, because one of the worst things for people to feel is they don't count. That, you know, the individual no longer matters or the people don't matter. And I think that's, you know, that is currently what's going on. And perhaps, you know, there needs to be more engagement in a few areas to allow for people to appreciate that, you know, votes do matter. It does count. The process may be slow and the process may be difficult, but it is a process and we are moving. And, you know, change does not come without tribulations, and people are upset by that. A lot of the changes, the fluctuations in change, when people look all around the world, it is not just Malaysia, it's in America, it's in UK. We are going through politically turbulent times globally. And what's also happening is a sense of laissez-faire. Like people are either, you know, they stop caring, they stop engaging because you're overwhelmed by too much information. So maybe sometimes, you know, we need to take care of our mental health and we need to be strategic in how we go about it, because we are living in this world and politics is part of it. And we are part of that system. And, you know, you have to be able to engage and disengage appropriately to maintain your mental health and to keep as part of the system, because if everybody gives up on the system, then I do think we're going to have a worse situation than we have right now.
And how do these feelings that come from this political situation translate into our day-to-day lives and our day-to-day emotions?
The worst thing is a sense of helplessness, because hopelessness and helplessness are one of those two criteria that lead to depression and that lead to people feeling like life is meaningless, they don't have a role in life, and, you know, to a certain extent, increased anxiety, depression, and possibly even leading to worse consequences of that. So one of the main things for people is that you have to have a sense of meaning. You have to have a sense of, you know, there is hope. Pandora's box, you know, the last thing in Pandora's box is hope. Mm. And that's actually a critical part of being human, to have hope, to be able to look at a situation, no matter how complicated it seems, and say, you know, we can do this. We can work through this. The danger in this current situation is that the sense of hopelessness, that really can destroy a human spirit. And that's what we need to try. We need to ensure that this process, this political process, is just a political process. It will pass. It's not going to be forever. I mean, there are people actively doing things to ensure it smooths itself out. So keep being part of the process and maintain that mental health, maintain that idea that it is not hopeless. It is a democracy and we are a growing democracy, and that means we've got growing pains.
So what can we do to continue being politically engaged, active citizens, but at the same time to also protect our own mental health?
Don't allow yourself to get overwhelmed. Don't read every single news article out there. Choose balanced reading. And for goodness sake, social media, sometimes it gets overwhelming. You don't have to repost, retweet, you know, forward every single thing that you see. Take some time for yourself to, you know, to break away from it. Talk to people, talk to your groups of friends, engage in your friends, constructively. Don't go into the, you know, even when you're talking to your friends, if you keep going and you keep harping, and if the individuals in your friends groups that harp over, my vote is totally useless, I'm totally useless, it is totally useless to change, maybe you want to mute them for a short period of time. Because if you disagree with that and you, or you are on the fence about that, you don't need people constantly being a downer. And when we surround ourselves with people who are constantly on the down, it's very, very difficult not to become down yourself. So you need to balance it off. I'm not saying, you know, and by the way, having people on the up the whole time or people who are hyper the whole time is also equally stressful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, have a balance of your friends, have a balance of your life, and kind of know when you need to take a break and switch off social media. There's absolutely no need to check political news just before you go to sleep. Sleep. You know, first thing in the morning, don't open politics. Keep it to a time of day where your brain has already started engaging, it's active, you know, it's willing to look at all this stuff. Because the first thing in the morning you open the page to politics, the last thing at night you open your page to politics, you're just going to ruin your sleep and ruin your waking up unnecessarily. These things happen anyway. So maybe, you know, keep looking at politics after you've had your coffee or in the or at lunchtime or, you know, after lunchtime or after work when you're already tired and you're already, you know, you've already had your stresses of the day. But try not to jump in when your brain is just waking up or just trying to relax and go to sleep. You know yourself, choose your timing, choose when and where you want to read about these type of news, and your brain is in a place where, okay, I'm engaged with the daily grind. Not your brain is just freshly woken up. It's it's like, okay, I'm up for a new day, and oh my God, I'm opening it up to politics. And maybe it's not the best thing to do in the world. And that's not just now. That's in any time of the year. Okay, one of the worst things that from this political event is that we were on a high. Many Malaysians were on a high some time ago. And then right now, it hit low. It hit really low. It hit a lot of people on a very personal level. So people are feeling down in ways they don't quite understand. It's like, I shouldn't be unhappy. Everything seems, in my normal day-to-day work, things seem to be okay. There's no major drama. However, I'm feeling more depressed. I'm feeling more helpless. I'm feeling more lost. And I'm feeling like, you know, just something is wrong. So what you're seeing here is that you're getting from an anxiety over what's happening in politics is becoming generalized anxiety. So you're generalizing that anxiety over politics or the fear or the depression that's over politics into other areas of your life because it's seeping into those areas. Now, for your mental health, this one is something that is dangerous because then, you know, this is the stuff where you don't understand what's going on in your life, why I'm feeling so down. But actually, it's one thing affecting other things because we are not silos. We are a part of a system, and we ourselves are a system. So when one thing, one area in our brain is like, you know, giving up hope, then that give up hope can seep into other areas in our life. And when we're looking at our daily mental health, this is probably the most dangerous for each individual because then it leads to, you know, more serious types of depression and anxiety. So please, if you find that you are feeling down and you're feeling lost, go, you know, if you need to talk to somebody, find somebody to talk to. If you don't have anybody, find a professional to talk to. Go to nature. Go out. Go on a weekend. Take the weekend. Go to the beach. Go to the mountains. Go to the hills. Do something different for yourself. Get out of the city if it's possible, if you're a city dweller. Okay, and just, you know, get back in touch with what's important in life. Okay, and what's important in life is yourself, your family, you know, breathe. You know, your health is really important. So don't forget that as we are going through this difficult period together.
Thank you, Dr. Anasuya. That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegathevi Jegathesan, a lecturer in psychology, and sharing some really very practical tips. You know, I mean, we can't fix the country or we can't fix the system, but we can certainly take care of ourselves first.
Yes, and I think also that mindfulness of sometimes we don't realize that we're actually upset or anxious or angry about this.
Yes.
And then we tend to like throw it on everything else,
That's right.
You know, whether our loved ones or our colleagues, or colleagues can be loved ones, I suppose. basically,
I see the distinction there.
The other people in our lives. Mm, and yes, we don't recognize that the frustration is actually coming from somewhere else.
So I think
it is worth thinking about a lot of these things. And, you know, we've been asking you on Twitter whether the political events of the last week have been affecting you emotionally. And really, 76% of you say yes, it has, while nearly 24% of you say no. But we've got some very interesting responses as well. Debonair says, yes, there is a sense that opportunity was lost to do a great many things, a sense of being cheated, a sense that all the hard-fought gains made now will be lost. Rao Murugesh says, yes, because we care deeply. And that's, I think, a very important point, right? You know, you if you care about something, you will be emotionally
affected, yes.
But then in contrast, we have That's My Full Name saying, nope, Dabia Sada, nothing surprises me anymore. Life is a Netflix TV series. Ivan Lowe says, biggest letdown, kind of like your home team losing on home ground, coupled with several rogue team members. Sandra says she has a helpless feeling of not being able to do anything and thoughts of, did my vote even mean anything? And a bit of hope that a miracle will happen diminished on Sunday. And on Twitter anyway, we have Born to Ride Rebel saying, morons, callous, Machiavellian.
Okay. Strong words there.
Those are strong emotions, yes.
Yes.
We also have Dr. Amir Siddiq, who we have on BFM here quite often.
Yes, he's a kind of a regular guest on our mental health series.
Yes, so he's tweeted in with some good advice. He says it's important to ensure sleep, exercise, and eating well. Stress often affects these activities, which can further deteriorate your mental health. Make sure you have a self-care plan. Hashtag let's talk Minda Sehat.
Absolutely.
We've got some WhatsApps coming in as well. Bobby says, as they say, democracy is a messy business.
Emotions are messy as well to go with it.
Yes. John says, I think people should stop being so emotional about politics and basically everything. People should be more critical in thinking about what to do after the political turmoil, like saving more money, finding better investment options, not just complain and get emotional about everything. And then we have Aslan, who WhatsApped in to say, this is also a good time to get... He said social media and news can be triggering and people must be cautious and aware that these can be... manipulative sometimes. And also, this is a good time to get back to learning patience, maintaining silence, and reflecting on what is possible and within our control.
There is, because of the emotional turmoil that an individual is going through, that impulsivity that comes with it to perhaps lash out, to comment, to share, to react.
Yes.
Some self-reflection, I think, is needed at times like this to just slow down, take a breath, you know. And the UK's Mental Health Foundation has more useful tips to care for your mental health when it comes to times of political change. One is to stay informed but be aware of your limits. So pay attention to how much information you're taking in and how it's affecting you. I mean, Dr. Anasuya said it as well, right? Limit your intake. Don't be reading it first thing in the morning on the last thing before you go to sleep. And there, you know, you do need to try to accept that global and national events are generally out of our control.
But also, on the other hand, they also advise that you can think about how to engage with your own community in ways that can be meaningful. Helping others is good for our mental health. And often this kind of community level engagement can actually show more immediate positive results and therefore give you that kind of sense of things being a little better than
within
they
your
might
control.
See.
Yes. And you can find ways of empowering your voice if you are feeling powerless. There's still a lot that you can do at the individual and community level. You know, if you attend community events or even debates, you can write opinion pieces. But of course, using, I guess, the internet and social media responsibly as
yes.
well.
And also to just not bottle up what you're feeling. If you are feeling negative feelings, if they're overwhelming you, to look for support, whether from from a friend, from a family, or from a medical health professional.
Yeah, and look after your mental health. As, you know, Dr. Amir pointed out on Twitter, you have to put aside time for activities that are good for your mental well-being. Dr. Anasuya also emphasized that, you know, even just getting out of your normal routine, yes, and going to do something outdoors, mm-hmm, you know, make sure to pay attention to your food intake, very importantly, your exercise, your sleep, and spending quality time with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. And on that note, you know, we'll be extending the conversation about mental health on our Health and Living show tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's our regular open mental health clinic show with consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan. We'll be addressing these kinds of issues as well as any other mental and emotional concerns that you have. That is the show where you can call and send in your questions for Paul. It's not every day you can speak to a psychologist, mm-hmm, I think, you know, for many of us. And so do stay tuned for that show tomorrow at 4 o'clock and send us your thoughts. And in the meantime, if you have anything else you'd like to share about the two stories we've been discussing today, you can still tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or on our Facebook page at BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. But first, here's some hope for you. We certainly like to think that there's still something over the rainbow by Judy Garland. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.